I'd like to read in the book of Jeremiah tonight, chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8, and just verse number 20. Jeremiah chapter 8, and verse number 20. It says, "The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved." Second reading in the Gospel of John, chapter 19. John's Gospel, chapter 19. And again, we'll just read verse number 30. John's Gospel, chapter 19, and verse number 30. "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Chapter 14 of the same gospel, John chapter 14. And verse number 3, the words of the Savior. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now one final reading in the last book of our Bible, Revelation chapter 3, and verse number 20. It's a verse we have read a number of times in these meetings, but I'd like to read it one more time. Revelation chapter 3, and verse number 20. And the Lord Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." About 7 months, and I might say a week ago, 7 months and a week ago, Mr. Oliver and I were having a Sunday night service in the little farming community of Stout, Iowa. And after that meeting on a Sunday night, we got into the car and we drove down the road to a little farmhouse that we had visited a number of times in that previous week. We opened the door and went in, and there was a quietness there. Our coats were taken. We were ushered into the master bedroom, which was just a very small bedroom. And we stood there, and we looked. Lying on the bed was a young man, 40 years of age, in a state of semi-consciousness, a young man who had once been strong, a young man who had once had a keen mind, a young man who had once had all kinds of dreams and aspirations. But as we stood there that night, we were made aware that we were on the edge of eternity. And I might say that as we stood there, and Mark Lovatny, who was a young man, his wife was there, and his children were there sitting on the bed. His family was there, sister, brother, their wives, their husbands, nephews and nieces. And as we stood there together, we understood that we had come to the final moments of a young man's life. Tell me, what do you do when you come to such a moment? What can you do when you're on the edge of eternity? And so we did the only thing that we knew was appropriate. We began to sing. Because you see, that young man was a Christian. That young man had had a moment in his life when he had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And as I stood there that night along with others, I thought to myself how different it could have been. Mark, as I've already mentioned, had a very, very intelligent and keen mind, and his aspiration was to be a lawyer. And so he started university, and at the age of 18, he was well into the studies, doing well, flourishing, academic success. The gospel meetings came to Stout in 1974. And as Mark approached those meetings, he thought to himself and he said to his brother, I hope Mom and Dad won't ask me to go to those meetings. He says, I'm far too busy. But his parents asked him to come, and Mark eventually started to come, once here and once there, not regularly. But as he heard the gospel, a few times he came, something began to speak to him. God's finger began to touch his soul. Blindfold began to be taken from his spiritual eyesight. And he thought to himself one day, he says, what if I become a lawyer? What if I become a financial success? What will it avail me when I have to meet God? And by the end of the second week, he determined he was going to go to those meetings every single night. And the weeks came and went. He never missed a meeting. And a moment came in that young man's life when he got into the car of a friend, and he was being picked up from university, and he threw the school textbooks in the back of his car. He says, I'm finished with those until I get this great matter of my soul's salvation settled. His friends thought he was going out of his mind. University register calls, wondering if Mark was having financial problems. Why leave school? Why not continue? Mark wasn't losing his mind. Mark didn't have financial problems. Mark, he had come to understand that the greatest need in his life was that his soul might be saved for eternity. And where we stood on the platform in that Stout Hall was actually the exact place where Mark had once sat. He had rearranged that hall, but he once sat exactly where we were standing as we preached the gospel. And one night, listening to the gospel of God's grace, understanding that the death and burial and resurrection of Christ had satisfied God and had put away sin. And that because of that wondrous person, that finished work, his soul could be saved. That night, Mark Novotny trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And 22 years later, he'd come to the finish line. How different it could have been. We could have been standing beside a young man who was well known across the country, but without a Savior. We could have been standing beside the still form of a young man who had millions in the bank, but was bankrupt for eternity. And what touched our hearts that night as we began to sing, one of the hymns we sang was a well-known hymn to many of the believers here. My Redeemer, oh, what beauties in that lovely name appear. None but Jesus in his glories shall the honored title wear. It was as we were singing the second verse that goes, sunk in ruin, sin and misery, bound by Satan's captive chain, guided by his artful treachery, hurrying on to endless pain. My Redeemer, pluck me as a brand from hell. And as we came to that simple refrain, my Redeemer. Suddenly we watched lips begin to move. And we watched as Mark Belvotny formed out the word, my Redeemer. I want to say tonight, it'll be a long time before I forget that sight. A young man going out to eternity. And yet upon his lips and in his heart was the wondrous truth, my Redeemer. Tell me, what will your last words be? What will your last thought be? Because tonight Mark Belvotny has been in heaven for 7 months and a week. He died Monday morning. And tonight, in a very, very real sense, we too are on the edge of eternity. There's not a soul from the speaker to the person in the top row here that knows how close we are to the final line. As I think of Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20, I think of a sad lament of people that will come to that finish line. And they'll come to the very brink of eternity. And the realization will sweep across their soul. The harvest is past, and the summer is ended. And we are not saved. Tragic words. To think of a day of opportunity having passed. And you look back to these 3 weeks here in this auditorium, and perhaps there are some here, and you intended to get saved this time. But the final meeting has come, and tonight you're still saying, the harvest is past, the summer's ended. We are not saved. My father works in a nursing home. And one day he went into a room, and he noticed that the woman was crying. And so he turned to her and he said, "Now, my dear, what's the problem?" She said, "Sir, if only I knew where I was going after I die. If only I knew." Sad to come to the end of a life and not know. Sad to pass every blessing and face eternity without a Savior. Tragic to miss the message of the gospel and to pass the Savior by and to come to the end of life's journey and have these words written over your soul eternally, not saved. Oh, the finality of those two words, not saved, lost. And as we think of the newspaper that came out the next day, after that giant ship, the Titanic, went down, there were only two words in the front column. Saved. Lost. And tonight, the dynamics of this meeting are simply these. Thank God there are some who have been saved by the precious blood of Christ. There are some here tonight, and you're lost. Harvest is past. Summer ended, not saved. Last meetings have their own dynamics with them. And what I'd like to just speak very briefly, because my time is almost gone, but what I'd like to speak very briefly on are some of the last truths concerning the Lord Jesus. We have read of the final words of redemption, finished.
We have read of the final promise of the Savior.
I will come again.
We have read his final invitation. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And as we think of these realities tonight, I trust you understand that you are facing a Savior, the Savior of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the question tonight in this final meeting is, what will you do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Your eternal destiny hinges on what you do with him. John chapter 19 takes us to Calvary. And as we come to that place, we watch as men do their worst. They give evidence of what they think about a man called Jesus. And as we watch, we see the hands of men pummeling the face of the man of sorrows. We see the priest of that day hitting him across the face, telling him that he's lying in what he said. We watch his men draw alongside and spit into his face and pluck the hair from his cheeks. We watch as he's arrayed in a gorgeous robe and given a weed in his hand as a scepter. And they beat a crown of thorns into his brow. And then in mock worship, they bow the knee and they say, Hail, King of the Jews. Rejoice is what they were saying. You're the king. Look at you. And we follow this man to the place where Pilate presents him to the people. Pilate stands there hoping perhaps for some pity, and he turns to an audience far greater than this, and he says, Behold the man! And we look at a man, and as we sang so many times, Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. We see a man beaten and bruised by our hands. And I want to say tonight, friend, Calvary goes far beyond that tonight. Because upon that cross, a moment came. And from the midst of that darkness, as that darkness was beginning to dissipate, we find that there came a shout, a cry, redemption's last words. When the man of Calvary cried, Finished. Tonight the big question is, what was finished? Was that the cry of a beaten man? Was that the lament of a man who says, Well, I tried, but it's all over, it's finished? I want to say John 19, verse 30 is the cry of triumph. It's the cry of the victor. And when he cried, It's finished! He was giving evidence of the fact that the mighty work of redemption was completed and paid in full. Nothing needs to be added. And because the work is finished, God is now offering rest to guilty souls. The work of an artist who comes to the end of a masterpiece of that painting, and that artist surveys that work, and puts his brush down and puts the top on the paintbrush, and he says, It's finished. Nothing to add. That word is the word of the merchant that takes that bill and receives the payment, and he writes, Paid in full! Finished! Tonight, friend, that's the word that God wants you to understand. The work of redemption has been finished by the Christ of Calvary. If you feel that you have to bring something, friend, and you haven't understood the word, if you're listening to the voices that say, keep coming, keep confessing, keep paying, you haven't understood the words. Because when Jesus cried, It's finished, it means that the price was paid, the debt was settled. Justice was satisfied, and Calvary was accomplished.
It's finished.
There's a young man who has attended meetings like this who is deeply concerned. A final light just like this came. And he left the tent and he thought, I should get it settled. And so he came back to talk to the preacher. And he said, sir, what can I do to put my sins away? I would like to have peace with God. What can I do? I don't know if the preacher was a bit of a gruff man or whether he was just testing that young man. But he looked at that young man. He said, I'm sorry, you're too late. And the young man looked with earnestness now. He says, sir, not too late. I must be saved. I want to be saved. What can I do? And again the preacher said, I'm sorry, you're too late. And the young man stopped. And as that truth began to dawn upon him, too late. That preacher, as a wise soul winner, sat down. He says, young man, the work was done 2,000 years ago. It's all finished. God is not asking you to add anything. You can't. You have to. The work is finished. The blood's been shed. God's been satisfied. Redemption is accomplished. God wants you to rest where he rests. On the finished work of Christ. I'm thankful it's finished. If it wasn't, friend, if I have to add even 1% to that work, I would never know if I've done enough. How does a person know they're going to heaven? Because of the sterling, settled truth of God's word that tells me Christ died for our sins. Finished. That's right, you could leave this meeting knowing that your sins are forgiven because of the finished work of Christ. Oh, the blessedness of being able to rest in that mighty work. But the same Savior that cried, is finished, that brings rest, gave us a sterling promise, a final promise. He gathered his own around him, and he says, I'm going. But he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And if Calvary gives us rest, this wondrous promise gives us hope. You know, as the darkness of this world grows greater and deeper, the promise of the Savior grows brighter. And one of these days, perhaps today, that promise will be fulfilled. I will come again. What a promise. I want to say, when there's a prospect in view, it changes the rose. I called my wife the other day. I said, Barbara, I'm planning to be home on Tuesday. She thought it was going to be another week. And suddenly everything changed. And the prospect was much nearer. I don't think she'll have any trouble going to the airport on Tuesday. And while I've enjoyed being in Toronto, I won't have too much trouble going to the airport either. Because you see, I'm going home to a loved one. And tonight in this meeting, I look into the faces of some here. And many of us are going home. We're going to that place where we'll look upon a man who loved us, who shed his blood that we might be saved. And when that moment comes, when that reunion takes place, when the rapture occurs, we'll be snatched away and we'll be placed into his presence, and we'll look upon the man who loved us and died for us and shed his own precious blood. What a moment. And when we look upon that lovely man, we'll begin to sing. And we'll sing of his worth, and we'll sing of his beauty. And we will be with him, and we will be like him for all eternity. I'm glad for that living hope.
I'm glad if Jesus were to come tonight, I'd be going. I thought you two could have the same hope. His final promise was this: I will come again. And tonight he wants you to be a part of that promise. But he has given us the final invitation. Behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. And what we are deeply thankful for in these meetings is that the knock of the Savior has been heard. Men and women have been singled out. You have come tonight led by the Spirit of God to hear the gospel. That's God's knock. That proves God's interested in you. And tonight there is a Savior who stands. Sad to say, he's on the outside of your life till now. But he stands because he wants entry. He wants to come in for blessing. He wants to sit down with you that you might enjoy his fellowship for time and eternity. And tonight he stands and he's knocking. In a very simple words, he says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. As I sit down, it brings the entire focus of the gospel to this point. The Savior, with all his beauty, is standing before your life. Before your eternity. And he wants to bring blessing. He wants to give you everlasting life. He wants to cleanse you of all of your sins. He wants to bring peace to troubled hearts. And he stands here with a final invitation. If any man hear my voice and open the door, and his promise is, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. How thankful we were to stand by that bedside and remember a day when Mark Volvatny came to Christ. And how thankful we are as we leave Toronto to be able to look over this audience and see men and women and young people that have heard his knock and have responded. Clay, what will you do? What will you do with this Savior who has loved you to the depths of Calvary, who has given all, who has paid the price of our sin, but he stands and knocks? I trust you'll respond tonight that you will receive him and come into the greatest of all blessings.